Hi, I'm Abby.
I'm JL.
And I'm Lydia Cruikshank.
We are honored to introduce to you the next speaker who we may have trusted a bit more than we should have as kids. I'm still surprised that no one was seriously injured on the DIY ninja course he created in our barn.
Or like the time he gave us powerless airsoft guns and told us to run as he had his powerful automatic airsoft gun. Yeah, the short game ended in us all having welts and him being hardly hit.
Yeah, or like the time he tried to burn our house down with his homemade candle. Although we gave him a hard time, he's one of the most selfless people we know. What people don't know about this candle story is he moved all of his friends outside before bravely running upstairs to fix the problem.
He has always pushed us to go farther and work harder, like the time I decided to run 8 miles just to have him run 8.1 the next day. From a very young age, he's been an energetic, competitive, and driven person.
He fully dedicates everything he has to whatever he is doing, whether that's leading, speaking, or socializing. He can bring the hype into everything and be the most genuine, real person at the same time. He has the work ethic we strive for, and I know he has fully dedicated that to FFA this last year.
For any of you that have met him this year, his love for the Lord, FFA, and the people around him is something you have noticed. He lines up any car drive with some crazy dance moves and makes the best out of things. We are so proud of the person that he has become.
We are pleased to introduce to you our brother and your National FFA Western Region Vice President, Josiah Cruikshank.
Find me a horse that I can cover. Find me some stars to sleep on. Find me a train, I'll hop out west. If she wants a cowboy, I'll cowboy the best.
All right, I got to tell you guys a couple things. First of all, this is really cool because this is the last event where all four Cruikshank siblings will be active FFA members. But I also need to say something because of what they said over there. They said that they trusted me too much when we were young. Don't be deceived. You might be looking at them like, oh, they're so cute, they're so sweet. They wouldn't hurt him. Why did they trust him too much? They are savages. Seriously, I'm serious. And I didn't realize it either until we were in the fifth grade. A teacher had just told me of the danger of house fires and how a fire in the stairway of a building causes everyone above it to have to find alternative routes to the ground. Growing up in a second-story bedroom myself, I'm terrified. I know I have to do something, so one day with the three sisters in tow, we head out to the barn. I find a really long string of paracord rope that hopefully my dad doesn't need. And then we walk around outside, we find a bunch of foot-long sticks. We build that day the most useful thing we ever had. It was a rope ladder. But it's not the rope ladder that y'all are picturing. It was literally a single strand of paracord with a stick tied in the middle at every foot. My vision is to balance one stick with my hands, and a couple sticks down, I'll balance that one with my feet, and I'll make my way down the ladder, slowly but surely. What could go wrong? Head back up to my bedroom with my sisters. JL ties the rope ladder around my bed frame, kicks out my window screen, throws it out, and says, "You're good to go." So I sit on the windowsill. And in that moment, I realize I'm making a huge mistake. But my three little sisters are behind me. I'm their big brother. I can't back down now. So I get onto the first run, and I'm able to balance it. I go down to the second one. That one's easy. But on the third run, I finally have to let go of my windowsill. With all my weight on the ladder, it snaps. A second later, I'm body slammed by the concrete patio below my window. And as I'm laying there, I'm looking up at my window, and my sister JL pokes her head out. And she looks at my lifeless body, and I assume she's gonna like show compassion or come down and help me. But in an offensively relieved tone of voice, she says, "I think he's dead." And my other two sisters just accepted that. As I laid there, I couldn't believe how fast and hard the ground had hit me. I couldn't wrap my mind around how unsympathetic my sisters were. Since that day, life has hit me fast and hard in a variety of ways. Have y'all been in a spot like that? It seems like the older we get, the harder life hits us, and sometimes the more unsympathetic people can be. The blessing of childhood is seeing the world at its best, simplest, and easiest. there was a time in all of our lives where we were sheltered from the painful, difficult, and scary things around us, even house fires. But sooner or later, that protection gets removed, and we come to a realization. We live in a hard world. Now, don't get me wrong. That doesn't mean that the world isn't redeemable or life isn't beautiful in many ways, but the world is harder than we used to think. It puts painful, risky, and uncomfortable obstacles in our way, and we live in a society that would happily help us avoid them as long as possible. But the more we can lean into those obstacles now, the better leaders will be. To do this, we'll need a tough mindset. Someone with a tough mindset understands that risk and discomfort, pain and failure are unavoidable. They choose to take certain risks and discomforts now instead of later. When I think about risk, I picture the high dive. I find the high dive interesting for a few reasons. High dives are only 10 feet above 12-foot deep water. So the worst mistake on the high dive, a belly flop, will only result in temporary pain. Jumping off is far safer than many activities we routinely do, like driving. But it doesn't feel that way. If we've ever been on the high dive, we know how terrifying it can be. With our friends looking up at us from the ground, which suddenly seems a lot more than 10 feet away. We think of everything that could go wrong, and suddenly it's hard to move, think, and even breathe. Memories of my first time on the high dive come back to me at Kentucky FFA's camp this summer, when we watch the Johnson Central FFA advisor, Mr. Dempsey, climb onto the high dive. Here's a secret about Mr. Dempsey that I've learned. For him, water and heights don't mix. Unfortunately, his students also know this, and they convinced him to climb the ladder onto the high dive. Like many of us, Mr. Dempsey reaches the top of the ladder before rethinking his life. We say, "Take the leap, Mr. Dempsey," and he yells back that he wants nicer students. After going back and forth with him for a little while, we count him down. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. He doesn't move a muscle. So we wait, with the hot Kentucky sun beating down on us and our limited rec time ticking away, we watch Mr. Dempsey fight a battle in his head. Finally, after 30 minutes of our encouragement, I take this photo. Beneath the high dive, relief is visible on Mr. Dempsey's face as soon as he reaches the edge of the water. Mr. Dempsey fought a battle with his fear and won. Talking to him, I can tell he's become a little bit more aware of the potential he has. See, Mr. Dempsey could have been hurt that day. Even more realistically, he could have faced the most embarrassing outcome of having to climb back down the ladder. But his risk gave way to a reward, and as he succeeded, Mr. Dempsey showed that he's just like all of us. We all have a risk that could bring us a reward, but is easier to avoid. If we, like Mr. Dempsey, take risks with a tough mindset, we will also get to reap the reward, even if it's something as silly as bragging rights and the confidence to jump 10 feet into the water. If we don't, however, that risk we didn't take can easily become a regret. Unfortunately for us, there aren't diving boards lined up outside of Lucas Oil Stadium, so we'll each have to figure out what our risk is. If we're a freshman, our risk could just be signing up for creed speaking. Our risk could be making a new friend, or even better, telling the hard truth to the friends we have, even if we might lose them. With a bit of honesty, we can figure out what our risk is, and with a tough mindset, we can avoid regret and earn a reward. Mr. Dempsey showed me that risk is a powerful and internal form of discomfort. But there are other forms of discomfort we can seek as well. If you're like me, you were able to avoid most forms of discomfort growing up. My days through middle school were uneventful. Life didn't hit me very hard until one day. It was a calm Sunday morning, the spring of my 8th grade year. I was about to walk out of church for a relaxing afternoon when a Marine officer named Mr. Nelson spotted my family and intercepted us. Mr. Nelson announces that he's taking the incoming freshman boys for a hike on the Pacific Crest Trail. And before I can make an excuse, my parents tell him that I have nothing better to do. In an instant, my relaxing sprain starts to sound like a lot less fun. See, I knew Mr. Nelson's idea wasn't as good as it sounded. The Pacific Crest Trail is the longest hiking trail in the world, connecting Canada and Mexico with over 2,600 miles of rugged walking paths. Mr. Nelson, a seasoned hiker, says he's found a 38-mile portion of the trail for us to cover. We'll do it in 3 days. We'll start off with some Forest Service roads, cross through the Central Oregon Mountains, and end at a place called Devil's Lake. Mr. Nelson says that this is one of the more remote portions of the trail, so our only backup will be a satellite phone he'll carry to call in a rescue helicopter if necessary. A rescue helicopter? What did I got myself into? What Mr. Nelson didn't say is that backpacking is an activity that is really fun in theory and really tough in reality. To safely eat, sleep, and filter water from streams along the way, I would need 42 pounds of supplies, which would go in one of Mr. Nelson's old backpacks that I would carry the whole 38 miles in 3 days. A few weeks later, 6 freshman boys meet Mr. Nelson at the trailhead. Mr. Nelson prays that we'll make our pickup time at Devil's Lake on time, and then gives us a pep talk about discovering the secret to growing up along the way. Within an hour, my pain begins. My brand new hiking boots create pressure points on my feet, which are quickly turning into blisters. My 42 pounds feels like carrying a horse. Mr. Nelson doesn't let us stop walking until we get to our first water source, where he gives us exactly 5 minutes to get our water filters and fill our bottles. And then it's back to walking. As the days go on, my discomfort turns into despair. On the last night, I'm laying in my sleeping bag with tears rolling down my face. Sleeping 3 nights on hard, uneven ground is more difficult than I'd imagined. I replay the events of the day I just finished. In the afternoon, my water bottle had just run dry when Mr. Nelson announced that he'd miscalculated and we wouldn't find more water for hours. With an uphill hike ahead of us, I was in bad shape. Before too long, I started experiencing the effects of heat stroke. I hoped someone had some fluids that I could borrow, but they were all just as dry as I was. So Mr. Nelson gave me an emergency, like electrolyte vitamin C packet, told me to take it, it would keep me on my feet. If you've never taken an emergency packet dry, please don't. It feels like eating sand, and the only advantage was that the pain in my mouth and throat offset the pain from my bleeding feet and sore legs and mosquito bites that covered my body. As I laid there that night, I needed a way out of my miserable situation. I thought about the satellite phone and Mr. Nelson's backpack. I imagined myself calling in the rescue helicopter. See, at that time, my standard of discomfort was carrying a feed bag across the barn. And the Pacific Crest Trail was more miserable than I imagined was even possible. I was in shock and mad at Mr. Nelson and the painful process required of me to become tougher. Looking back now, those 3 days were one of the biggest blessings of my childhood. They removed some excess weight from my body, but far more importantly, they removed my entitled mindset when it came to privileges even as simple as drinking water. They built some muscle, not very much. They built some muscle, but far more importantly, they built a tough mindset. Perspective reveals to us what discomfort does. It rewards our suffering today with valuable skills for tomorrow. Seeking discomfort is a powerful tool, and embracing it looks different for each of us. It looks like raising an animal and waking up early when our friends get to sleep in. It looks like choosing foods that fuel our body, even if they don't taste as good. It looks like developing an exercise routine and sticking with it. Seeking discomfort requires sacrifice today so we can be better prepared for tomorrow. But if you're like me, we enjoy our fair share of everyday comforts. I've arranged my life to reduce the physical activity required of me. With food delivery apps, it's never been easier to get tasty and convenient, unhealthy food delivered wherever we are, whenever we want it. When I'm bored, instead of finding meaningful things to do with my time, I find a screen around me and play a movie, TV show, or video game. Or just scroll Instagram for hours. What are the easy-to-choose comforts in your life? We know we could be stronger by occasionally rejecting them. What if we despised that feeling of comfort? What if we chose discomfort because we know it makes us better? If it hasn't already, the hard world around us will eventually hit us. And on that day, the only way we'll know how to get back up is if we've already learned how through discomfort. Seeking discomfort grows us as individuals. But as we go through it, we also create a better community, organization, and nation for the people around us. I believe G. Michael Hopf had it right when he said, "Hard times create strong men. Strong men create good times. Good times create weak men, and weak men create hard times." Throughout history, this cycle has proven itself over and over. Our nation has faced hard times, and we find inspiration from the strong people who have paved the way for good times. But now, how do we avoid a downturn? How do we avoid becoming weak people? If this hard world requires us to have a tough mindset, then good times require us to be even more intentional about developing one. We're led to believe that we can live easy, convenient lives, let our guard down. But we could choose better and create a better world for the people around us. No one knows this better than the FFA members in this room and around our nation. We know that the better things we now enjoy have come to us from the struggles of former years. We know that our struggles today will pave the way for even better things to enjoy tomorrow. We take risks through something as simple as investing time, energy, and resources into a supervised agricultural experience, which could fail. We embrace discomfort through something as simple as wearing official dress. I mean, let's face it, heels aren't comfortable. Tying a tie isn't convenient. Nylons are a pain even if they don't get a grip. And these blue corduroy jackets make the hot hotter, the cold colder, and soak up more rain than some people would believe. But we also know the reward that this small discomfort can bring. I mean, look around the room. We feel pride and honor as we make up a sea of blue corduroy jackets. We feel dignity as we present the best versions of ourselves in official dress. If you're here today and you're homesick, we're proud of you. You've traveled further than most would to make yourself better. You might feel uncomfortable by the people and city and food we're surrounded by. That's natural, but you're pushing back and embracing growth through discomfort. We know that calling ourselves to a higher standard of discomfort is worth it. I never told you how my time on the Pacific Crest Trail ended. After 3 days of crossing through the Central Oregon Mountains, we finally see the calm waters of Devil's Lake in the distance. It was one of the best moments of my life. We beat our pickup time by a little while, and so I got to sit down on some soft grass at the edge of the water. Mr. Nelson ended up next to me, so I finally got to ask him a question that had been burning in my mind. "Nelson, why do you hike like this?" He thought about it and said, "Josiah, I don't think there's anything better to do with my time than enjoying creation." Can you believe that? I've never heard anything more detached from reality in my life. So I said, Nelson, you gotta be kidding me. Why would you choose to walk for days? This is so hard. Nelson just looked back at me, softly smiled, and said, Josiah, the secret to growing up is discovering how life works. We don't get to choose an easy life because a hard life has already chosen us. A hard life has chosen us. National FFA, sooner or later, we'll be laying on our concrete patio with our three little sisters looking down on us. Life's gonna throw us some obstacles. Avoiding them won't work forever, so we might as well lean into them now. Let's take a risk and earn a reward. Let's find growth through discomfort. National FFA, a hard life has chosen us, so let's embrace it.